All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. And now up on TSN 4, Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. There he is, all dolled up. Carlo Colaiacovo. I love it.
What's
no hat,
up, boys?
Jacket on. Is that an alumni jacket? Do we
it
have two?
Is.
We have two alumni jackets on the show at the same time.
Ooh.
I thought it would be fitting today, considering it's a special day with two former Maple Leafs on.
Yeah.
And the big boy's birthday, baby.
Happy birthday to the O-Dog. I got to make sure I say that properly. Happy birthday. Can't say happy B-Day. I made that mistake in the past. Happy birthday to our main man, the O-Dog.
It's my favorite dog.
It was a miserable birthday, I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie.
Why?
Well, we'll get into the Tiger Woods situation later, but as you guys know, I don't know if you know this, Coco, I'm in the process of getting new teeth, okay?
Ooh, I did not know that.
So, yeah. The first time, a bunch of them got extracted, where they were thrown in the garbage where they belong. The next time, holes were drilled, and then little screw things are put in place where the teeth were, okay? So I'm told to go in for my last appointment. I think it's very simple, Hayes. You screw the new tooth into that little hole that was that little steel thing with like a rivet in it, and goodbye, it's my birthday, walk out, screw the new teeth. I lie down, and this thing turned into the TSN lumberjack competition within 4 minutes. Hacksaws, I'm not even close to being done. And I said,
so you went to do all this on your birthday?
Yeah, dude, it was today at 1 o'clock. I'm like, ladies, I thought today was the last thing. Like, just get me out of here. Screw the new shiny tooth in. Four of them, and I'm out the door. And it was not good.
No. So where are you in the process then? Because I'm not familiar with the whole operation. I've heard a lot about dentistry over the years based on my own, you know, marital status. But not that familiar with dentures or, like, a full replacement of teeth.
Dude, I don't know either.
Where are you at here? Like halfway home? Are you like?
I thought I was fully home. I thought that these holes with the metal thing put in place was end of story, man. They grow in. You got to wait 3 months. And I thought I was getting a fake tooth screwed into this rivet. And it's like, see you later. Thanks for your time. And I was way off because it was drilling needles, freezing.
Yeah.
And
man,
I'm like, I didn't sign up for this today. I did not sign up for this today.
Yeah, that's disappointing to hear because I do know it's a significant process. I mean, you know, based on your own experience now. I mean, if you're going with the full teeth removal and replacement operation, you're talking some significant surgeries and significant dentistry. But that's disappointing that they wouldn't kind of give you the framework here. You know, in a timeline.
Buddy, I thought they figured I kind of knew, but I had no idea. I thought, because they're like, okay, Jeff, this is it for a while. You come back like in 3 months. So when you get that delay, it's like, okay, this is the final touches.
Right, here we go.
Here we
go.
Pop the new teeth in. Put the new teeth in and goodbye. But it was tough.
Yeah.
And you come home, you turn on the Golf Channel, and you see the news about Tiger Woods. It's the worst birthday ever.
That is a really difficult birthday because the Tiger news, you know, we want to point out, and I think it's important to know, if you're not familiar with this, he had a car accident this morning in L.A., a single car accident. He rolled over. They needed the jaws of life to get him out.
Yikes.
And he is currently undergoing multiple surgeries on his legs or his lower body. We don't know the extent of it. We don't know a timeline. We have no idea at this point. So there's not much more information we can give than that. If it comes in and when it comes in, we'll be the first one to let you know. And, you know, the Grappler, Mullen, everyone is tracking this. But it is good to know and it is good to hear. You know, it's not life-threatening. He is going to be alive. So we don't want to make this sound overly morbid today. It's not as if we're celebrating the life of Tiger Woods because there's more life to come. He's going to get out of hospital. Who knows what's going to happen in his future in terms of professional. Obviously, at this point, it's more about personal and making sure he can walk out of there or get out of there and eventually be okay. That's obviously what we're all hoping for. But, you know, when you see those emails, you know, we've been down this road a couple of times. Over the last 5 years on this show, I remember it was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:30 in the afternoon when we got the note about Roy Halladay and what happened with Doc. And then by the time we got on the air at 4, we kind of knew. I don't think it had been confirmed then, but we knew. It was him. It was his plane. We knew what was coming. That was incredibly difficult. And then the Kobe Bryant story was about 13 months ago, yeah, almost to the day, in L.A., and that's where Tiger was. So when I saw the initial email, that's where my mind started to race, too. Yeah. You know, I'm like, tell me he's gone. Like, tell me this is the end of Tiger Woods. And luckily, that is not going to be the case. He's not dealing with life-threatening injuries. But could certainly be career-threatening injuries. Yeah. And we all saw him over the weekend, right, Carlo? Like, he didn't look good. He didn't sound good. I was embracing for his appearance at the Masters anyway, and I think this all but puts an end to his golf season.
Yeah, and it's maybe his golf career. You're talking about multiple leg surgeries that he's having. Clearly, like you said, Hayes, you watched them on the weekend. I mean, the way he looked on the weekend, he looked like he was in rough shape. There's no way you could even think he could get ready in a month's
time. And Coco,
time.
We can't. What I like from Jimmy Roberts is what he just said on the Golf Channel was, we can't go to what he looked like at the golf tournament and try to connect dots. What we can deal with only is the facts. And the facts are that he was in an accident at 7 o'clock in the morning. His car is a mess, and they had to use the jaws of life, which is an avenue to get somebody out of a vehicle. I think it's thrown around like people almost enjoy using the jaws of life for some reason, like it makes it more dramatic. That's how you open the car to get the human out of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And it's not life-threatening, and there's severe leg damage, and he's having surgery on his legs. So we can't sit here for 3 hours. We're going to give you updates when we get them, but you can't try to connect the dots of what's happened in the past with Tiger. Is there anything else that caused this accident? We don't know. And when we get that information, we'll relay that to the listeners. That's all we basically got.
You're absolutely right, O. But if you're looking at his career, you connect the back with the legs. You know, golf is a standing sport and a walking sport. You know, you just hope he comes out of this.
Carlo, 100%. We were talking about that, me and Hayes, earlier. It's like, you got to figure with what just happened with his back. Mm-hmm. And with this development with his legs going on, you wonder if you're ever going to see the guy. Hopefully he's able to walk around normally again, but to see this guy on a golf course again, that seems like a stretch. There's no doubt about that.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think that is what I was getting to, and maybe what you were getting to, just based on what we saw over the weekend. I was embracing for an appearance on a course anytime soon. As for what led to the crash, what he was going through, those are details we don't have, and to your point, and it's an important one. We're not going to speculate on that. When information comes out, and believe me, it will, because of the nature of who's involved here.
Where it is, the nature of who it is, it'll come out.
It's
ASAP.
Coming out. It's coming out. And I think, you know, I would assume in the next 24 to 48 hours, we will know the extent of the injuries and the surgeries. I wouldn't be surprised if the surgeon gets the thumbs up to go out and announce it. You know, at this point, we've only heard from Tiger Woods' agent, who issued a statement saying he was in the accident. It was him. He's dealing with surgeries right now. That's all we're going to tell you. And, you know, please respect his privacy. But that just is not a reality in 2021. It's just not with celebrities. It's not with a guy like Tiger Woods. The media is going to be all over this. TMZ will be all over this. And they're going to find out or try to get to the bottom of how it happened. There may be video of it. You never know in 2021.
Yeah.
And furthermore, you know, what the injuries are. You know, like I wouldn't be surprised if later today a surgeon came out and said, this is what happened. This was the surgery, because there's no point in hiding it. It's going to get out at some point. You know, it's his life, but I think Tiger has been in the spotlight for 25 years. He knows the way this is going to play out. Like, eventually it's going to get out. And, you know, if we don't see him on a course again professionally, I think we've been bracing for that for a while, right? We've kind of been preparing ourselves for that. The past 10 years of his career has been more about, you know, non-play and more about him kind of struggling to get back into his form. What he did in 2019 was incredible. May have, you know, borderline sports miracle that he won the Masters in 2019. But listen, the legacy of Tiger Woods, it has been written in stone for quite some time. And
it might continue, Hayes. I mean, we saw Charlie Woods play in that tournament, the father-son tournament.
Right.
Maybe that's the legacy that can continue with him in the golf world.
Right. Well, and listen, if he can rehab and get back on the course, that would be an incredible story as well.
Yeah.
Right? Like that, I wouldn't put anything past Tiger Woods. And you got to hope that it's surgery that you can have a full recovery on. And even if it takes a year, year and a half, he's still Tiger. He's still going to have the talent. As long as he can swing and rehab and work out, then we'll see him. And let's hope that that happens. But, you know, the storybook that is Tiger Woods, there may be a handful of athletes in the last 30 years that would write such a compelling story. And at times,
I don't think there's anyone, I don't think there's any athlete or you'd be hard pressed to find anybody that can write this script. I mean, whether the ups, the downs, the drama of it, the excellence, the return to glory, as Jim Nantz said when he won the Masters, that's a story that's I can't even think of one athlete that would even come close as far as the highs, the lows, people being interested in seeing him. And if you think about his story, I mean, I'm sure if when he's conscious and his agent's thinking like just we were cruising along the public image and everything, that's just why us right now, why the Tiger Woods camp right now to add this to the storyline. It's just it was tough to see. It was tough to see the accident, and we don't know what happened with the accident, but he was like the back's getting better, possibly the Masters, and it's just it's a shame to see it. That card, it's not a pretty sight, and
no,
I just hope he's okay.
It's really tough. It's a really tough sight and tough reality, you know, and the information that is important right now is not life-threatening. So Tiger Woods is he's going to come out of the hospital, and he'll speak at some point. We're going to see him, and he's going to be around. And, you know, this is a guy with kids and a personal life that really matters. But we're all fans, you know. We're all captivated by Tiger. We've all got different stories. We all love golf. We all love watching golf. We all love talking about sports. We do it for a living. Right on this show and in the morning with you and Michael, Carlo. And Tiger, the Tiger Woods brand, like that's another thing in terms of who he is and what he's managed to build here. There are two brands that will exist forever, long after a guy stops playing. One is Jordan, clearly, and the other one is Tiger. Like the Tiger brand makes you want to buy Nike, wants you to play TaylorMade. Like, oh, you and I, like you're a massive Tiger fan. I am too. We both play TaylorMade. We both play Bridgestone Tour BXS balls, which
because
is the Tiger ball. Yeah, and
does,
we cruise around in Nike hats and Nike shirts. Like, that's what Tiger is.
How many people, like, do you see on a Sunday or any day? It's just a red Nike golf shirt where it's like, that guy put, nobody used to wear Nike golf stuff, and this guy put Nike, it's just, It's a legendary status for a guy, and I just hope he can play golf again because it's just we always talk about it, Hayes. Whatever is going on the tour when Tiger's not there, you're interested. You're like, okay, I'm interested. I love golf. I love the golf tournament. I'll watch, you know, Faldo and Nance or Hicks and Azinger, who's ever on the weekend. But the difference of the red jersey of Tiger Woods on Sunday compared to a normal golf event, it's outrageous. It's like the interest and what he does for the sport. It's one of the golf announcers, there's a famous quote, and it was, the Tiger doesn't move the needle. He is the needle.
Yeah. Right.
So it's
very true.
Let's
be honest. I mean, golf, watching golf is way better with Tiger involved, right? I mean, even as much as he's accomplished, as old as he is, you know, who knows what his future holds. Every tournament that he's in, it's ratings through the roof.
Yep. No, it's so much more compelling because Tiger's there. And let's hope that we can get to that story again. You know, it's so premature to make a call on his career or his golf or his life. I mean, at this point, we know he's going to survive this. But who knows what the rest of his life is going to look like and how it's going to play out. But it would just be one more incredible accomplishment if he can get through this and rehab and get back on the course. Like, even if it's 2-3 years down the road, you know, just go out there and play the Masters. Who cares if you shoot 85-85 and you walk off? Mm-hmm. At least we got to see you play again. You know, like, that's, I think, what most sports fans are thinking right now. And that's the incredible story of Tigers. You know, golf is a niche sport. It's not football. It's not basketball. It's a niche sport. But there's golf, and then there's Tiger, where people are like, even if I'm not into it, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to track it. Yeah, because of who he
is. Especially if he's in the hunt on Sundays.
Big time. big time. There's nothing close to it in golf, and there may not be anything close to it in sports. Like, it was like every Sunday was like a perfect game in the seventh inning if he was in contention. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, I kind of got to go watch that. Like, Tiger's, he's a shot or two up or a shot or two behind, making the turn, probably going to go check it out. It didn't matter what tournament it was. If it was Augusta,
it doesn't
if it was
matter who
Michelob
it was
Light.
Either. There's great viz of Larry Fitzgerald in the locker room with the Cardinals, and he says to the reporters, yeah, it's got to hang on a sec here. Tiger Woods is putting. And he just looks down at his phone or his iPad or whatever. He just captivates everybody's attention. And we just hope he can get back to that. Sundays playing golf with the red shirt and everybody can watch it.
Yep, let's hope. So we'll continue to track the story clearly. I mean, I think we're all intrigued and we're all curious and we're all, you know, pulling for Tiger Woods here. And he's in surgery, or he was the last time we heard from his representatives. And based on the nature of who he is and the media and the interest in this story, the town that it's in LA, there's going to be coverage. And I think there'll be more and more reports. So we'll try to keep you up to date on the status of Tiger Woods. James Van Riemsdyk will join us in about 10 minutes. He is on a comeback season here in Philly. I mean, his numbers are through the roof, and they got a pretty good team. JVR, we all know him from his days in Toronto. He was in Lake Tahoe, obviously, with what happened with Philly and them having to delay the game on Sunday. We'll get his take on that. And we're going to do a number of things with him, and we'll get into the Leaf game last night and what it means going into the game tomorrow, and the Raptors back in action tonight as well, taking on Philly. So we'll tee that up a little bit later in the afternoon. Carlo Koliakovo is in here with the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, James Van Riemsdyk will call in just a moment. And, you know, his Flyers, they're off to a pretty good start. And they were a part of that Lake Tahoe kind of gong show over the weekend. And didn't go exactly as planned. And they ended up losing to Boston, but he's off to a great start. So we'll catch up with him in a moment. And we were talking about the Tiger Woods crash from earlier this morning in L.A., and we'll keep you updated on that throughout the afternoon. But didn't get into the Leaf game last night. And it wasn't much of a game. I mean, credit to Calgary, credit to David Riddick. I thought he played really well last night, and that team needed it. And it felt like an appropriate scoreline. Like, Calgary was in a situation where they had to bounce back. They had lost 4 of 5, got embarrassed on Saturday night, got off to a pretty quick start. Riddick played well for them. Their big boys got on the board. And, you know, conversely, with the Leafs, I didn't think they played poorly. I thought they were fine. I didn't think they were great, but their big boys, you know, we're due for an off night, and that's kind of what happened last night.
And when does happen, Brian, I think that it's going to come into focus more going forward. Because people are going to say, it's like Connor McDavid his whole life. It's like, if you shut him down, you're going to have a quality chance to win. Yeah. So last night was a night where it was like either a Jimmy Vesey or somebody's got to score, but what you look right to is John Tavares, William Nylander. Can you guys contribute when those top-end guys, which those guys are supposed to be top-end guys as well, but they needed an assist last night. They needed some help, and it didn't happen. And if this continues to happen, then everything comes into focus more. So that's what they needed last night.
Oh, you touched that on the broadcast yesterday, too, about the importance of the start, considering, you know, Calgary and everything they've been through for their last stretch and how the world is falling down on them, the importance of that first goal. It just seemed like when Calgary got that first goal, especially the way it went in, they played with more of a sense of urgency. And listen, there's nothing wrong with them losing, because like you said, maybe somebody else could have stepped up. Their power play was 0-for-7. That could have been a game that their power play won for them last night. And, you know, in earlier games when they weren't in it, it was their power play or it was their depth guys. But I think the luxury that the Leafs have created for themselves right now is they can afford to have an off night like that. When,
they can.
You know, they're missing 4 or 5 guys because they've got a 6-point cushion lead in the division.
Right. You're not going to win every night. That's why I wasn't overly disappointed with last night, because I didn't think they played poorly. I didn't think their effort was terrible. No. But they were okay. You know, they were pretty good. But
they played well, Hayes, but they just didn't have enough guys where you say, usually the Sports Center hit, it's like, oh, pick out this guy for the Leafs, played extremely well. You couldn't pick out a couple guys, and that's puck luck too. If a couple goals go in for Matthews, you're like, oh, this guy was a standout again. But when they don't go in, it was like there was nobody really going. I don't think anybody stood out. And the way this team is designed, you got to have two of those top six guys or three have standout games and your team has a chance to win. And also the beginning of the game, Freddie Anderson named not a starter, yeah. Jumbo out, Hyman out. It's like that negative Muzzin. Stress kind of, yeah, Muzzin was out with a broken bone in his face. That kind of negative energy kind of seeped in, and they had nothing. They had no mojo, and they couldn't really build anything. The key is just bouncing back and getting guys going. I'm not going to, like everybody says, people stop me, and they're like, what's up with Nylander? What's up with Tavares? And the plain truth is they have to play better. They have to dig themselves out of this and play better. But I'm not going to write them off and say this is a complete joke, this is a complete waste. This team is set up to win now. It's about the team success. But don't kid yourself. They have got to get better and dig themselves out of this to help the team contribute to win.
Right, to get to the end goal, right?
Like yes.
Not just beating, you know, Ottawa or Vancouver or getting to the playoffs, which we know that's where they're going at this point. It's about, you know, pulling your weight come playoff time. And we'll get more into that conversation a little bit later on. And specifically what Marner said about playing with Tavares and Matthews. He had a comment on that earlier today. But it is alumni jacket season on this show. Coley Acuvo with his alumni jacket. The O-Dog with his alumni jacket. I don't know what the rules are if you're still in the league.
You get it when you retire. Like,
yes.
So you don't think JVR, if he sent a note to Shanahan and said, I want my alumni jacket, you don't think he'd get access to that? Why wouldn't he?
Man.
All right, let's bring him in here. From the Philadelphia Flyers, longtime Maple Leafs forward. Here is James Van Riemsdyk. JVR, do you know the answer on that? If you reached out for your alumni jacket with the Maple Leafs, do you think you could get it, considering you're still currently playing in the league?
You know what? Right after this call, I'm going to have to send Shannon a text with just my address, and hopefully he knows what to do from there.
I like it. Yes. Get us that update. We need it. They're unreal jackets. Like, these two bozos have the jacket on right now. We're on TV up here.
Yeah, because we're has-beens. When a guy's in the league, he doesn't care about an alumni jacket, you donkey. Like, we're has-beens. That's why
I
want to
see JVR. I want to see JVR get it and march into the Flyers room the next day with it on. Say, hey, boys, look what I got.
Right. How would that go over? Who would chirp you first?
I'm sure that would go over well. Yeah.
No, I can't imagine it would. Well, you guys are off to a good start. You're off to a great start. What do you got, 21 points already, 8 goals, I believe? I mean, you're feeling it earlier. What's going on with you this season?
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, last season, the way particularly it ended, I didn't have the best taste in my mouth after that. So just like every other off season, you try to go into it and do you can to kind of make some adjustments maybe and just kind of evolve and continue to adapt as a player. I think you need to continually do that if you want to have a long career. So you try to do some stuff like that. And then obviously coming into the year, so it's always nice to get a goal in your first game. And then you kind of start to get a little confidence rolling and go from there. So, I've just been trying to build off of that. And, feel good about where my game's at and just want to continue to try to progress that as the season goes along.
Were you a little nervous, JVR? I mean, what did you kind of analyze about your game? Did you have to talk to the coach and say maybe some different situations? I know once a bad season kind of hits a pro athlete, you're like, I would get a little bit nervous. I did get a little nervous and say, I got to fix this because I don't want this trend to continue.
Yeah, I think certainly you want to try to put yourself in the best position and be ready for any opportunities you may get over the course of a season. I mean, just looking at my first 2 years in Philadelphia, it's been 2 general managers and 3 head coaches. So obviously that's not exactly how you draw it up when you sign somewhere as a free agent. So I think there is also that aspect of it, just a player getting used to a new coaching staff and a coaching staff getting used to how to use every single player. So I think that's always an aspect of these things that sorts itself out. And sometimes you'd like it to be seamless, but sometimes it takes a little bit longer than others. And I think this year it's been things have gone pretty good in that sense, and I feel like in a good spot with some of that stuff. And I think that's been a little bit of a difference this year too.
James, you started your career in Philly, and you played in Toronto as well. And luckily for me, I was able to play in both places. But when you had a chance to leave and you entered free agency, what made you decide to go back to Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think going into free agency, I tried to go in with a completely open mind and just, again, try to assess each and every situation and just going like that and not have any preconceived notions. It's definitely interesting, though, because when you get traded from a place, I mean, again, it wasn't that long. It was, what, 6 years before. You don't necessarily expect to be in the same place. It seemed like a good fit, and what I thought I could bring to the table could fit into that, I thought would be good as well. And that was kind of how it all worked itself out. But again, I definitely didn't necessarily expect it until you go through the process and you start to kind of analyze everything for what it is.
Can you take us through the Tahoe experience? It was kind of weird watching, I'm not going to lie, with the delay in the first game. And I don't know, you just tell us what you saw out there. With COVID, did you guys even really get the opportunity to experience it? Just take us through the Philadelphia Flyers experience going out there and having that game.
Yeah, well, usually the best part, or a lot of the best parts about those outdoor games are being able to, again, share some of it with some different people coming into town, with family and friends and stuff like that, and you have a family skate and stuff. So this obviously was a little bit unique, as you can imagine, just with all the world we live in right now with COVID. So wasn't as much stuff around the game, but as far as the kind of the picturesque sort of atmosphere and stuff like that, that was pretty sweet. And I think they ironed all the kinks out from the game before us, so we were able to just seamlessly sort of play, and they had the ice and stuff figured out, so that part was great. It would have been nice to have been able to enjoy some other things as far as the atmosphere around the game a little bit more, but ultimately I think the league did a good job of trying to create something kind of fun for the fans and for the players, in the sense of just trying something a little bit outside the box and different. So I think and that part of it was cool.
We're chatting with James Van Riemsdyk of the Philadelphia Flyers, longtime Maple Leaf, and you guys, I'm sure, are used to playing without fans now. You know, you're deep enough into this whole routine to the point where I'm wondering if it's going to be strange to have them back in the building. Like, if you were playing tonight and there were 20,000 fans in the building out of nowhere, do you think you'd just seamlessly get back to where you always were and you just focus on a game, or do you think that might be a distraction in a weird way?
You know, there's definitely going to be some extra nerves for that. I think the first game that we all can play with, like, a full building, it's going to probably feel like the loudest game we've all ever played in, just from going this long without it, and kind of, again, a little bit of a quieter, sleepier sort of atmosphere, obviously, without the fans. So that's definitely, again, we're looking forward to getting it back to normal in that sense. And, again, that's what makes the game so great and so much fun, is having all those great buildings to play in and with packed full of fans and great atmospheres and stuff like that.
What about the schedule? I mean, we debated it on this show forever leading up to the beginning of the season, and knowing that you're only going to play the same six or seven teams, you know, throughout the year, and we're about 15, 20 games into it now, so you've got a pretty decent taste of how this is all going to play out. What do you make of this, just going up against the same teams, playing the same team two, three, four times in a row? How big of an adjustment has that been?
Well, the one thing I like, I definitely like playing to eliminate some of the travel where you play the same team twice in a row like that. I think that's pretty cool. I think as you get to three, four, five, six, seven times in a row, maybe that can be a little bit much. I'm sure, again, obviously it's the world we live in and just trying to make the best of it for this year. So maybe it will be a one-off in some of those situations, but I kind of like the ease on the travel a little bit with some of that stuff. And then I think the second games too of those back-to-backs generally provide a pretty cool or better storyline. And I think as players, you just kind of go out there and play a little bit more. There's less video to worry about, less of that extra stuff, and you can kind of get in there. And the teams have already felt each other out a little bit in the first night, and the second night you can just kind of go out there and play.
JVR, we appreciate you taking time today, but before we get you out of here, I thought you were sending us, like, suits or something, like me and Hayes wearing shirts.
Hey,
Hayes, didn't you say we were getting shirts or
before
something?
This, to make sure, I'm like, hey, did you send those suits? Because if I go on here and I get shirt by these guys, like, that's not going to be good. So I hope they sent those. If not, I got to get your guys' addresses again, and I'll have to reconfirm that. But I'll definitely wear that one if
if that's the case. If you guys
I didn't get anything. Hayes, did you?
Okay, at this point,
I'm on it. I'm on
it. Yeah. No, feathers, man. Feathers so far. I wasn't going to bring it up, but yeah, okay. All right,
okay,
man.
Well, hey, I'm glad you did because I'm a man of my word. I'm going to make sure that that gets taken care of.
Okay. Send a note to...
I'm not going to be a flake.
I like it. We'll hold you to it because, you know, we'll get you back on in like a couple of months and we'll just keep bothering you, basically.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
That's how we roll here. So shoot a note to Shanahan for an alumni jacket and fire up the suits or the shirts or whatever, and we'll go from there. That sounds good.
Yeah, all righty, cool. That sounds good to me.
All right, buddy. Good luck the rest of the way. You're off to a great start. We're tracking it up here, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this, as always.
All righty. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
You got it. James Van Riemsdyk. I wasn't going to go there. I was thinking about it, though.
Dude, that's how you get stuff. Mind. You gotta put people on the spot. It's like you promised
call them out.
A flex suit or something, and I've got nothing. I was like, I was going to chirp him and say, did you invent like those imaginary suits, invisible suits? Because thanks for sending them to us because they're invisible and we can't see them. I don't know. He came out with some new cool thing that, you know, hockey players or something wear. And he was like, I'm going to hook you guys up. And
yeah, he's invested in some company. I don't know where that went because that was before COVID hit, I believe. That was over a year ago, I want to say. So I don't know what's going on there, but I think he's invested in some spot down on Queen or whatever, and it's
wasn't
like
that the same time around when Noodles was complaining about his suit?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what it was, that Noodles went down there and got suits and he was raving about it. Then he found out that JVR was involved in the whole operation. Uh-huh. So we brought him into it and he said, yeah, it's awesome. Thanks for the free pub or whatever. And then he's like, yeah, I'll hook you guys up.
Grappler, get the name of it so we can at least pump the guy's tires.
Yeah, at least we can do. Least we can do is give it another plug.
And we'll ask his company to make a couple large suits, both large for me and Hazy B.
Right, exactly. Body double.
Carlo, who are you kidding? You have a fat ass. What is your size, right? What is your jean size?
36.
That's a crock, dude.
Well, hold on a second. So you're bringing up the suit stuff, and I give you a lot of credit because you show up on this show almost every day, and you're looking good. You got the suit on and stuff. Like, to me, if I had a choice right now, I do not even want to entertain putting a suit on.
That's the guy to your right. He says to us all the time, this is radio, guys. I want a hoodie. I want a dark room. I want this is radio. But the problem is, we're on TV.
No, exactly. Listen, I've come around. It's Noodles is the issue here when it comes to a wardrobe. Like, what was he wearing last week?
It was redonkulous. He had, like,
velvet? Is this the velvet tracksuit?
He had it was sent to Steph, and it was too big for her, so he bore it and put it on. It was horrendous.
And what was the golf shirt he was – what was that company we were
Flex Seal.
About? Flex Seal. And there's a guy on tour who is now – sponsored by Flex Seal.
And a good player, too.
Really quality player. And, like, walking around on tour, he's going to be at Augusta National with Flex Seal on his shirt. And Noodles was rocking that shirt a couple of weeks ago. Listen, I'm with you. Like, my comfort zone would be mail it in, hoodie, hat, dark studio, old school.
Yeah,
but
buddy.
You can't.
I
you
do
can't
a morning show.
Anymore.
I'll give
the
you guys a tip.
Putting a hat on, a hoodie, some track pants.
It's awesome, but you're not
Coco.
On TV. That's the thing.
I'll give you the speech, Coco, that we were given when I was with the Maple Leafs, and it's very simple. Every time you're in front of a camera, there's an opportunity for you to impress somebody on the positive or the negative. So if you want to wear a jabroni suit and look like a moron, go ahead. But somebody might be looking and say, look at this guy.
No, there's 100% truth in that, and that's why I've come around. I wear jackets a lot. I'm wearing a nice shirt right now. And I had that conversation with my wife last week where I tried something on. I put something on that was just outrageous, like so comfortable but looked stupid. And I even said to her, I'm like, there was a time not that long ago.
This was in style?
No, where if you went on TV, you wore a suit always. Mm. Like, always. Like, men, if you left your house, you wore a suit. You know what I mean? And I'm like, we're still on TV. We got a pretty decent audience on TV. We're representing the company. Least I can do is look somewhat appealing.
I would love it, though, if it changed a little bit. I mean, who's the guy on the CBS football, Nate Burleson?
Nate Burleson. He looks great, though.
That guy looks cool. It's like it's not just a shirt and tie. He wears hoodies sometimes. It's like I think it's 2021. I don't know. Mike Lane, shoot us an email. Say you don't care what we wear in the panel. Who cares?
The panel's different.
Just listen. You
come
guys,
on, dude.
Like you guys love golf. Like, why can't you dress the same way you would at golf? I mean, you look good when you play golf. You got a nice set of slacks on.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever said. We're not golfing.
Why?
We're on. This is our job.
No, but what I'm saying is, there's still a good way to dress without wearing a suit.
Right. You're right. And a golf shirt is appropriate, I think, certain times of year. I think when it's snowing outside, minus weather, a golf shirt on TV.
Yeah, but you saw what happened when the golf shirt came on with the other guy. It's a Flex Seal shirt.
Yeah, but that he's got up his game, right? He's got a like the Flex Seal.
Dude, that is
byway,
his game. It's either a suit
game.
Or Flex Seal.
That's very true. I believe the company is State and Liberty, a bunch of people writing in. State and Liberty, I think, is the company that JVR is affiliated with. So shout out to them. But yeah, I think there can be a happy medium. I think there's a difference on this show on the panel. The panel, you're not going to win that game. Like, you're not going to win it
because
Duthie, Dregs, TSN. With us, I think we could come together a little bit and say, let's keep it together. What throws me off, and I'm going to point this directed at the guy to your left there, Carlo, is every 15 to 17 shows, you show up in a hat and a hoodie. Or a Leaf shirt, and it throws me off because I've got the suit jacket on. I'm like, why didn't you send the note out saying, mailing it in, not
dude,
dressing
that,
up today?
Guess what day? Guess what's the only day of the week?
It's a Friday. It's a Friday.
Always a Friday. I think one day a week you could say, you know what? Because I'll tell you what, when you go from this show and then to a TV game, some days you just look at a suit and tie, you're like, I can't do it.
Yep.
It seems so simple to fire it on, but can't do it. It's hoodie day. It's a hat.
Okay.
And Whatever happens.
Let's figure that out. Something's got to give here. But all in all, we're looking good. We're feeling okay. It's O-Dog's birthday today. Ray
Poco
Farrell
got a haircut, by the way.
You went and got a haircut. Look at you.
Look at you, bud.
I like it.
I noticed that on the broadcast last night, man. You were looking sharp.
Coco, I don't think you heard me. I said you got a haircut. I think you took...
I thought you said you got a haircut.
I thought
you
did
get a haircut. Yes.
No, yeah, that looks good, man, because it was getting a little bit suspect, growing a little long in places. Yeah, it's a little dicey.
Dude,
there,
we were in lockdown, man. Where could you go get a haircut? To
exactly.
me, all I did was I got my son to grab my my buzzer and just give it the old number 8.
I love it. The number 8. The ultimate melon. Hit me with the number 8 and just let's see where it goes. Lloyd Christmas style. Jerry Foltz will join us from the Golf Network or the Golf Channel. We'll get back into the Tiger Woods story. Look ahead to the WGC Workday. A great field down in Florida this weekend. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so there's a big golf tournament this weekend, the WGC at Concession, which they've never played there. And apparently this course is just a phenomenal golf course. And 48 of the top 50 players in the world will be there, including Justin Thomas, who just sent out a tweet saying, sick to my stomach right now, praying for Tiger and hoping for an amazing recovery. Mike Tyson just sent out a tweet, praying for Tiger, fight through this. And that's what the sports world is focused on right now is Tiger Woods. And we don't have any more updated information. He had a single car crash earlier today. He's in surgery. It's not life-threatening, but surgery on his lower body, you know, his legs, and we don't know exactly what that means or what will come of it in terms of his future, both on tour and personally. But to get into that and the big tournament this weekend, we're joined now by one of our favorites from the Golf Channel. Here is Jerry Foltz. Jerry, I just read that tweet from Justin Thomas. You're around these modern-day players a lot. You know, how much does Tiger mean to these guys, the younger players on tour?
Well, he's the reason many of them ever picked up a golf club the first time, if it weren't for maybe their dads or their grandpas trying to get them out there. Tiger Woods inspired so many people in a manner that was very reaching people of different backgrounds that never had been reached by the sport of golf before. So, yeah, he's everything.
Foltz, is there any more information? You're in the inside as far as the golf world. All we're aware of, it was early in the morning. The car was a mess, and it's non-life-threatening and apparently some leg damage to Tiger. Is that basically all you're aware of as well?
Yes, that's all I'm aware of. I've been sitting here glued to the TV, all the different outlets that are reporting on it and trying to see if anybody who beats who to get the most reliable, newest information, which fortunately they're not doing. There's a lot of speculation going on. I appreciate you guys didn't do that in the intro because so many people are speculating, and many to, you know, to bide time till more information comes out are already almost eulogizing him, which seems a little sad to me. No, I'm just like everybody else, glued to it, feeling a little less stressed because of the many reports that the injuries are non-life threatening, and worried sick for his two kids, Charlie and Sam, that they get through this really tough time and get to talk to their dad sometime soon, and he can let them know he's okay.
Yeah, Jerry, that's what we all hope for here too. You mentioned speculating prior to the horrible news that we were just encountered with today. You saw Tiger on the weekend with the Masters approaching. How confident were you that he was any close to return to golf?
Oh, yeah, in his interview with Jim Nantz, he didn't leave us with a optimistic impression about being able to compete in the Masters. But the one thing you can never do with Tiger, and the only time you'll ever get Tiger Woods wrong, is when you underestimate him. The only time he'll prove you wrong, because he's able to do things that nobody else can do, and he's done it his whole life. And if that's coming back from surgery, he can do it. If it's coming back from a tragic accident like this and maybe someday returning to the golf course, there's one person who can do it. It'll be Tiger.
We're chatting with Jerry Foltz of the Golf Channel. And, that's so true. I mean, my mind has been racing like everyone else. We all love following Tiger and watching Tiger, and we can't wait to see him back on the course. And, you know, this is going to be a challenge for him, clearly, without knowing any of the details in terms of what he's about to go through. He was going through a tough time anyway, you know, with the back surgery and where his status was to begin with. But, I mean, he has climbed the mountain so many times over the past 10 or 12 years. And the idea of seeing him on the course again, even if it's 2 or 3 years down the road, I'm hoping once the dust settles and once we hear the news and it's more positive than anything, we can get to that point. And just the idea of covering that story would be really incredible, Jerry.
Yes. 82 PGA Tour wins, 15 majors. He's done all that while relinquishing probably a decade of his career to either injuries or swing changes. And that just makes it even more incredible. Something the guy who he's chasing from a major championship standpoint, Jack Nicklaus, never had to do. These images that are coming out through TV, the same ones they keep replaying from the helicopter, are just eerily similar to the pictures we saw from, 1949 in the crash of Ben Hogan. And it's, you know, the injuries themselves, at least the initial reporting, sound quite similar as well. So I think we all just hope he walks out of there, walks out of the hospital someday, that he can live a normal life first and foremost, and then and he can be a dad, and he can do all those things that he relishes now more than ever. And if he can return to the golf course, that's only a bonus. But right now, that shouldn't be near the forefront of anybody's mind.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the golf world will go on. We just mentioned that Justin Thomas was speaking today. All the players are going to be speaking on this really throughout the coming days. But the WGC workday is on the verge of happening, and 48 of the top 50 players in the world are going to be there. It's just a stacked lineup. We know there's no cut, and by all accounts, this course is incredible. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Jerry, but I'm sure you are. It looks like it's just amazing. I mean, how do you see this tournament playing out?
I tell you what, I've played there probably a dozen times. Sandra Gall has her annual charity event there. I took a couple of guys' weekends over there and stayed on property in the most amazing casitas you've ever seen. It's a great golf course, yes. It is arguably the toughest or one of the toughest golf courses I have ever played. Now, they won't set it up to embarrass the PGA Tour pros, but there are certain green complexes and certain shots you have to hit off the tee that are just ridiculous. I mean, they played NCAAs there, and they didn't soften it up too much for them, and the scores weren't too bad about 3 years ago, but they weren't great. It can be set up to where, literally, it could be set up to where a Tour pro couldn't break par there if they wanted to.
Jerry, some kind of positive note before we get you out of here. If you could come up with a three-pack of players that you think might play well there, who would you come up with?
You got to go with the accurate guys off the tee. In that respect, I don't. Even though it's a long course, I don't think you need a ton of power. So I look for the Xander Schauffeles and the Colin Morikawas of the world to really play well there.
Okay, Xander Morikawa. All right, we'll see. We'll see where this goes.
Sorry about the three-pack. I finished the other one already. It's early.
Okay, I'm with you on that. It's going to be a fun weekend. Enjoy it. Obviously, an incredibly difficult day in terms of the news, but we really appreciate your viewpoint and your input, Jerry, as always, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime, gentlemen. I always enjoy it. Thanks.
Yep, there he is.
Thanks,
Jerry Foltz of the Golf Channel. So he's got Shoffley and Morikawa he likes. Did he give us a third?
No, he didn't, but I think if you want to – that guy's my buddy, so those are my picks.
Well, I got the first
pick. What's this three-pack you guys are doing every turn?
Wow, this guy's this guy wants to do a snake, and he actually is a snake because he threw a three-pack at me 1 week, and then he started crying for a snake. We'll tell you about it after the break.
Yeah, we don't have enough time to describe
this guy's a fraud,
here.
Yeah.
This guy over here.
This guy, you wouldn't believe
Rose,
it.
Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, all wrapped into one. All wrapped into one. We'll describe it and tell you about it in the next hour. I have the top pick. I'm taking DJ. Like, it's happening. You have to take Dustin Johnson. Anyway, coming up, we'll get into the Bobichet comments, his status coming into a new season. Raptors in action tonight again against Philly. We'll tee that up. Ray Ferraro will join us to look back on the Leaf loss last night. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.